collect the scrap metal and cut it up, or housewives who sometimes recycle the metal to make pots that they'll subsequently cook in. Do you think there's a risk?
There are potential effects, especially if there's repeated exposure, even if it's not chronic. And this will be the case. Children come to play, water is cooked in the pots. With ingestion, with repeated administration within the body, even if you only have weak doses, the fact of accumulating the various doses can ultimately have an effect on health.
Clearly, the depleted uranium dust falls down, and it settles.
Yes. Once it falls, obviously the ground will be contaminated. Afterwards, it depends on how this contamination comes about, if it's very localized or not, and whether it's in towns or in fields which will be cultivated. So there will definitely be a contamination of the environment.
Things are becoming clearer to me, and more worrying. The depleted uranium particles are dangerous for health and for nature. The career of depleted uranium munitions began in Iraq, but it continued in the heart of Europe, just a few hours by air from capital cities like Paris, Rome, and Berlin. I walk among the graves in the Jewish cemetery in Sarajevo. It was from here that Serbian snipers kept the besieged city locked down. The journalists, who like myself, came to cover the conflict, often found themselves behind the yellow walls of the Holiday Inn. In 1992, divisions in Yugoslavia forced Bosnia into a war. In April, the inhabitants of Sarajevo were trapped. The UN launched an impossible mission to reconcile Muslims, Serbs, and Croats. But the war dragged on, and in 1995, NATO intervened. NATO planes, mostly American, bombed the Serbs, who were forced to make peace. The Sniper Alley tramway takes me to Hadići, a suburb on the outskirts of Sarajevo. I enter a ruined factory, a key element in the Serbs' military industry. Tanks and cannons were repaired here. NATO planes attacked the Hadići factory 7 times in September 1995. And fired more than 4,000 depleted uranium shells. When peace was reinstated, many Serbs from Hadići moved to Bratunac, a Serbian republic town in eastern Bosnia. They went there to live and also to die. Nedeljko Zelenović is a journalist and a witness. He has investigated the NATO bombings. His father, uncle, cousins, and dozens of friends worked in the Hadići factory.
All the workers who worked on the assembly lines at the time, who were caught in the fighting, and later at the time I was following events, they all died from various forms of cancer. In 1996, the population of Bratunac was between 20 and 22,000 people, and less than 5% of them came from Hadići. That year, in 1996, 154 people were buried in the Bratunac municipal cemetery. 3% of them came from Hadići. But in 2000, 105 people were buried in Bratunac, and 50% of them came from Hadići. I have a few names if you're interested.
Jerić Budimir, Andrić Drago, Mastilo Dušan, Banduka Milinko, Banduka Danilo, Aleksić Nenad, Makajić Simo, Stanojević Velja, Puša Ramon, Turuntaš Ljubica, Lavušić Gospodin.
What did your son die of?
He was diagnosed with leukemia. I asked what it was caused by. And they told me it was due to depleted uranium.
Mehmed Talalevich is a Muslim. During the war, he fled Hadice, driven out by the Serbs. In 1996, he returned home, close to the ruins of the arms factory. He found his house, blown apart by bombs. Mehmed rebuilt it, not suspecting that the land around it had been contaminated by poisonous dust.
We were never told. Nobody ever said anything. The public at large can't even be aware of it, as this disease is really a lottery. You put up with it, you fight it, and you might live or die. I know at least 10 people here, all young, aged between 35 and 40. They all have a cancer.
Mehmet tells me that he discovered he had colon cancer in 2004. He's taken chemotherapy and is now in remission. But the news is not good. The latest tests revealed that his prostate is 4 times bigger than normal. He has blood in his urine.
I've become fragile. Before I could take normal showers, but now I have to have very, very hot showers. I have to wear leggings. I'm cold all the time. I'm delicate. My blood is anemic. I've no immunity.
Are you sure all this is because of the factory?
Oh yes, I'm 100% certain. There are no other diseases here apart from cancer.
I pursue the depleted uranium trail in Italy. A great ally of the USA within NATO, the country organized humanitarian missions in Bosnia. It later sent a strong contingent to separate Serbs and Albanians in Kosovo. And it was in Italy that the dangers of depleted uranium weapons were widely exposed in late 1999. In Rome, I meet another Italian soldier who'd been sent to the Balkans. Colonel Americo Lacetti.
So it began in 1999.
I came back in 1999, and on December 24th, I had an X-ray. I remember I was alone with the technician. There was nobody at the hospital. When I asked him what I had, he said, "What have you got?" And then he said, "Enjoy Christmas, because you won't be here next year." I had this lump 24 centimeters long, 14 centimeters wide, and 12 centimeters thick, a tumor in my lungs. After that, I had other tests, and they took a piece of the tumor and examined it. Inside were numerous ceramic particles, perfectly round. And they contained a load of substances that don't exist naturally. But they do exist when a depleted uranium projectile strikes a hard surface. This produces a cloud of dust, which when you inhale it, creates this type of pathology. I'm now living in a body that's mined.
As the death toll builds in Italy, the public is outraged, and the government has to act. On January the 3rd, 2001, the Prime Minister, Giuliano Amato, breaks the official silence and announces that he is going to demand a full account from NATO. But this demand will have little effect.
Gifted and Safi, Ramadan Mubarak.
In
insights into the Holy Quran, a special program for the holy month of Ramadan.
Welcome you, O holy man of blessings. You are seeking nearness to my Creator, for you my soul and heart has been purified.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. This is a special program for the holy month of Ramadan. In today's program, Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi explains some verses related to this blessed month. Please stay with us.
O month of mercy, you bring so much good. We pray that it never ends. But we know you gotta go as the seasons come and go, 'cause your time is set by Allah. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, you're the month of the noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. We're going to be with you in this holy month of Ramadan, talking about the different verses of the Holy Quran regarding the benefits of fasting, the most important of them, piety or taqwa. We'll be with you again after you have listened to some verses of the Holy Quran regarding fasting.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Ya
O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting as it was decreed upon those before you, that you may become righteous.
Let's start with the 45th and 46th verses of chapter Baqarah. Allah the Almighty says in the Holy Quran in those verses, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And seek Allah's assistance with patience and prayer. And truly, it is extremely heavy and hard, except for those with full submission. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who are certain that they are going to meet their Lord, and that unto Him they are going to return. During the holy month of Ramadan, within the last few years, we were with you with the different verses of the Holy Quran regarding fasting. But I assume we did not count this verse as the verses related to fasting. Actually, numerous prophetic traditions have interpreted a patience in this ayah, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, or patience and prayer, as a fasting, which means fasting is the very first element of the spiritual journey to God. And this holy month of Ramadan is the best chance we have for this journey. A wayfarer has to make the most of the chances, and all the prophets in their spiritual journey have been seeking assistance with fasting. Prophet Moses, ala nabina wa alihi wa alihim as-salam, says that I had gone up to the mountains to receive the stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant. And I remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. Then the Lord gave me the 2 stone tablets. Also, Prophet Jesus, in his spiritual journey, was aided by fasting against the devil. The Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, and he was able to deliver himself by fasting 40 days and 40 nights.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.
The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites the new moon of the month, let him fast it. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful.
In our religion, we believe that the entire Quran was revealed to the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the holiest night of the holiest month, month of Ramadan, the month of fasting. The Holy Quran says, "شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن," the month of Ramadan in which the Quran is revealed. And إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, indeed, we revealed it in the night of measure. And according to many narrations, the Torah was revealed to Moses on the 6th of Ramadan. Injil was revealed to Jesus in the 12th of Ramadan. So all revelations, it seems to be, they have occurred during the month of Ramadan, month of fasting. And the question that rises in this case is that, is there any reason more important than the spirituality of fasting, which is related to all these revelations? Now, we might get to the answer of this question by having a closer look at the benefits of fasting. We all know that fasting is beneficial from different aspects, from different points of view. For example, it is quoted from the Prophet of Islam to have said, "Fast, you'll be healthy." Sumu tasihhu. And even years before Islam, the fathers of Western medicine prescribed fasting as the greatest remedy, and they called it the physician within. And even the scientists now believe that fasting is considered as one healing revolution. There are more than 500 medical journal articles available regarding this fact. And some actually believe that fasting is the medicine for the 21st century. Some believe that human body is designed to heal itself, if only given the opportunity. And those who claim believe that actually fasting is the most effective biological method of treatment. It is the operation without the surgery, and it actually cures many of our modern illnesses. Thank you for staying with us in this program, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to us. If you have any question or comment, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. May Allah accept your deeds in this holy month of Ramadan, and please include all Muslims in your prayers. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, please forgive us and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here. Allah's mercy.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Proper Nutrition with Brother Sayyid Vahid Alavi in the program The Month of Allah.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, and welcome back to The Month of Allah. In the last program we talked about how to eat, and that is a question that many put forth. Now we will try to answer more of that question. And in this program, I will try to explain a little bit more. In the last program, we talked about that verse, if you remember, eat and drink, but do not waste. And I will continue with that same message of the noble Quran to the humankind. And that is, when this single verse of the noble Quran, eat and drink and do not waste, all right, if we really practice it, if we really practice it in our lives, you will see changes. For example, when you overeat, which is a disease or sickness that we human beings, some of us may have, is that we overeat, and that puts extra weight on the different body organs. It puts extra weight on the heart. The heart needs to pump out more blood to the organs so they can digest the food, and so on and so forth. And you have this evil cycle going on. Food which remains unabsorbed and undigested in the body needs to get out of the system. Because of that, the body and the different organs and the heart starts to pump out more blood. to the different organs, and that puts more weight on the body. And you have all these diseases going on. In one narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam to his dear son, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, the Imam gives his son four recommendations. Number one, eat only when you feel hunger. When you are hungry, eat. Do not eat when you don't have any appetite. Number two, stop eating when you still have some appetite left. All right? Not as many of us do, that we eat and we exceed in eating and we do an excess in eating, and that is not healthy at all. We need to stop eating when we still have some appetite left. Number three, swallow the food only after you have chewed it thoroughly. So that is very important. Another narration says that you should chew the food till it becomes like yogurt in your mouth and then swallow it. And that is, again, a healthy recommendation for us. Number four, before sleeping, you should go and visit the toilet and relieve yourself. All of these four recommendations will make you free of any need of a doctor. You will not need to visit a doctor if you really follow these four recommendations according to the narration. In this profound statement, Imam Ali alayhi salam says something which was said around 1,400 years ago and is a solution for all or for many illnesses, not all, but many illnesses that we have today in our modern day or modern era. We will talk more about different questions in coming programs. Till next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you. Ramadan Kareem.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Inshallah, tonight I would like to address a matter that hopefully will remind us in regards to our path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each of us in the month of Ramadan are, should be, and we are, inshallah, thinking about our relationship with Allah, our connection to Him, all the good that we hear about the connection of the great servants of Allah with Allah and what He gave them in this world and in the hereafter, creates an incentive in all of us to look forward to a time that we can attain more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that the month of Ramadan, the gates of His mercy are wide open. There's more, and the gates of His punishment are closed, shayateen are chained, and all of that tells us that this month is a time that we are able to make better progress. And so we all look forward to it, and we would like to make some level of progress in the month of Ramadan. And in regards to that, obviously, the words of the Ahlul Bayt, the verses of the Holy Quran, they're filled with guidance. And we've got to remind ourselves and each other in regards to them every now and then. Otherwise, the path is there. It's in the Quran. It's in the words of the Ahlul Bayt Salamullah Alayhim Ajma'in. And we've got to try to look towards the Qur'an, towards the words of the Ahlul Bayt, and find that guidance. And if we truly look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will guide. He will show us, inshallah.
Ramadan, welcome holy month, Ramadan, Ahlan Ramadan.
As we are moving gradually into the month of Ramadan, and we hope that we are able to get more benefits and blessings from the month of Ramadan, we have to think about how we can accomplish that. We've got to think about how we are going to have a more enriched, more enhanced, a more blessed experience this year compared to last year. In order to do so, we first and foremost have got to think. And once we start thinking, I think the conclusion we should reach, which is a good conclusion, it's not a bad conclusion, is that, Ya Allah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to do this year better than last year. I don't know how to make improvements. The month of Ramadan is Rabi'ul Qur'an, brothers and sisters. It is good that we try to read one juz, one part of 30 parts of the Qur'an. It is good. It's part of that process, but see it as part of that process. It's to get us more familiar with the wording, get us to read more of it, be acquainted. Those words need to be familiar to our ears. But it doesn't end there. We've got more time. We need to make more time. Read the verses, try to have an understanding regarding them. The last thing that I would like to mention tonight in regards to Dua Iftitah, the beginning of it is said Dua by the 12th Imam. It's been narrated from the 12th Imam, the Imam of our time. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. He has presented us with this gift. The gift of Dua al-Iftitah is from the 12th Imam. And maybe now you can make better connection with the idea that a good portion of the Dua has to do with the 12th Imam and the requests, the supplications we have from Allah in regards to the 12th Imam. We should read these. I don't want to focus on any particular line that we have in Dua al-Iftitah, but generally read these from a different perspective. It makes a huge difference. When you read another example, those were examples of the 12th Imam, we read in the very well-known repeated dua in the month of Ramadan, Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. Oh Allah, you relieve all those who are dealing with poverty, provide for them. Aghni kulla faqir. Make them wealthy, give them a lot of cash. Well, the approach, again, the approach that you just ask Allah, when it came to me getting sustenance, I didn't just ask God and just sit here waiting for cash to come from the ceiling or from the sky, from the heavens. When it comes for cash going to the poor, I'm like, God, you do it. No, that's not how that dua is. That dua is God provide. That means I need to start working on that. And alhamdulillah, believers here are doing this. They read that dua, Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. I can't provide for all these people. You provide. I will do whatever you've given me. Fi amwalihim haqqun lis-sa'ili wal mahroom. The believers are those that in their belongings, in what God has given them, there is a right, there's a portion for as-sa'il wal-mahroom, for the one who asks for assistance, and for the deprived, the one who is not privileged to have these things. These brothers and sisters have set that aside. They're asking God, I can't do much, this is all you provide, I'm going to do this, but you provide. This is a good step, and we need to keep going with that, inshallah. Allah will help us. Allah will aghni kulla faqir. He will provide for all the poor through the hands, inshallah, of the believers. The believers will be the means. You give, you'll see Allah will give you more. He will give you more and more to give, and you will realize that you don't even take care of your own life. Allah took care of it. Ask those who've been involved with this, and they will tell you that's definitely the case. So the du'as, the various du'as that we read in the month of Ramadan and outside of that, we should have the approach that we need to see what that du'a says. We should consider that something we need to work towards, a goal we need to work towards. And on top of asking, we need to take steps towards it, inshallah.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareem Adi Ali حالي حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه
الله 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 الله
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah.
I invite you to listen to a short part of Chapter 9 of the book Sirr al-Salat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini, Chapter 9 entitled On the Secrets of the Time. And in the traditions, both have been called prayers, and the time for the afternoon prayer is the time of Adam's sin entering into the veil of tendency toward the nature tree. But the time for the evening prayer is in the time of the darkening world and entire vanishing of the real sun. There is a tradition has been quoted of the infallible, the evening is when that Adam repented, then he observed prayer, three parts, one for himself, second one for the ifsin, and the third one for his own repentance.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. We are glad to give our congratulations on the appearance of the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is a month about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ The month of Ramadan is the month in which Allah has revealed the Quran. And this revelation of Quran is for the guidance of the mankind. And it has clear evidences. And it is the differential between the right and wrong. Because this program is about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini, the part of the speech that I have today is in regards to the actions of humans, and it is in regards to the self-building. Because the month of Ramadan is a month in which we build ourselves, we combat with ourselves. Therefore, in this part of speech, Imam Khomeini says that we cannot reform our country unless we first reform ourselves.
كم أهواك يا شهر الصيام أنا لن أنساك فأنت في قلبي دائما تمضي الأيام ودعائي كل عام ربي تقبلنا يا ربي بلغنا بلغنا رمضان
He also mentions that each one must begin with himself and adapt his conduct, views and deeds to Islamic decrees, and having thus corrected himself, then proceed to reform others. Unfortunately, we think that we can reform others, we can bring change in the society while we are neglecting ourselves. But Imam Khomeini is referring to the very basic rule that has been mentioned in the Quran. And he says that unless you change yourself, you cannot change anyone else. If you do not change yourself, you cannot even change your family members or the people who are close to you. Therefore, we need to change ourselves in this month. We need to make a change and we need to adapt the Islamic decrees in our life so that we can change ourselves first and then the society, so that we can reach to a level where we will have the society which was promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq to learn the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and live according to those teachings, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Let's listen to the famous reciters of the Holy Quran in the month of Allah.
سبحان الله
Brother Muhammad Reza Birya, only in IRIB English Radio.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to another segment of the program, The Months of Allah. In this segment of the show, we're going to talk about famous reciters of the Holy Quran, Egyptian and Iranian. One of the great reciters of the Quran was Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan. He is one of my favorite reciters. He is a very good reciter of the Quran. He was born in 1927 in Babu Sharia. And he memorized the whole Quran when he was 12 years old. About the style of recitation of this great reciter, many things can be said. Okay, because, you know, this reciter, he didn't just have a great voice. He had a very powerful and attractive voice which captivated the listeners. At the same time, he had a very good lahn, meaning he was very proficient in using the Arabic maqamat, okay, the modes, the musical modes which are used in Quran recitation. One of the characteristics of this reciter is the fact that he uses Maqam al-Kurd very much in his recitation. This is a rarely used Maqam in recitation. But Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan very skillfully uses this Maqam in his recitations. And that is why he is known as Malikul Maqam al-Kurd, the king of using Maqam Kurd in his recitations. And the recitation that we're going to listen to right now, okay, he uses Maqam Kurd in this recitation as well. It's a very beautiful, delicate, and, you know, it's just an incredible Maqam. And a lot of people love this Maqam. It's a very beautiful Maqam, and it's very difficult to use in Quran recitation. Now, with the explanations that I just gave you about Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan, let's go ahead and listen to this wonderful recitation, Suratul An'am, verses 95 to 96. This recitation was performed when Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan was in his 40s, and he was relatively young.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله فالق الحب والنوى يخرج الحي من الميت ومخرج الميت من الحي ذلكم الله فأنى
Allah is the cleaver of grain and date seeds. He brings the living out of the dead and brings the dead out of the living. That is Allah. So how are you deluded? He is the cleaver of daybreak and has made the night for rest and the sun and moon for calculation. That is the determination of the exalted in might, the knowing.
شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
The limelight.
After enjoying a public relations victory, the Biden administration has yet to offer any specifics on the nature of American participation in the Saudi-led war, says Alex Emmons, writer, in an article published under the heading, Month After Biden Promised to End Support for Yemen War, Congress Still Has No Details. Stay tuned for the details, please. More than 2 months after President Joe Biden announced that he would end all American support for offensive operations in the war in Yemen, including relevant arms sales, his administration has yet to detail what forms of support the U.S. has cut off. Biden made the commitment in a February address, but he also promised to help defend Saudi Arabia from missile attacks and threats. That left many members of Congress questioning how the administration would distinguish between offensive and defensive military support. 41 progressive members of Congress wrote to Biden asking him to clarify what forms of support he had discontinued and which Trump-era arms sales would be deemed relevant to offensive operations. The letter requested a response before March 25th. 6 years to the day after a coalition of countries led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates launched their intervention. The intervention was supported by the United States, and both the Obama and Trump administrations provided weapons, intelligence, and until 2018, mid-air refueling support for Saudi aircraft. But almost 2 weeks after the deadline, the administration still has not responded to the letter. Spokesperson for the State Department referred the intercept to the White House. A spokesperson for the White House did not respond to multiple requests for comment. Months after enjoying an initial public relations victory by announcing an end to U.S. involvement in offensive Saudi actions in Yemen, the Biden administration has yet to offer any specifics on the nature of previous or current American participation in the Saudi-led war. Said a Democratic aide with knowledge of the letter, who was not authorized to speak publicly. Although the letter expressed support for the administration's decision, it also asked for a detailed account of what role the Trump administration was playing in the war when Biden took office, which activities would be discontinued, and how the United States would support a diplomatic resolution. Congress has repeatedly invoked its constitutional war powers authority by voting to end unconstitutional U.S. participation in this war, the letter said. We seek to ensure that the Biden-Harris administration's Yemen policy will adhere to the limitations sought by majorities of Congress in the numerous bipartisan votes on this subject. The missed deadline comes as many of the same members of Congress are looking for ways to press Saudi Arabia to end its blockade of Yemen. After years of war, Yemen is suffering one of the world's worst humanitarian crises, and aid groups have criticized both sides for impeding the flow of needed goods. In an interview with CNN recently, Saudi Foreign Minister Faisal bin Farhan al-Saud denied that there was any blockade, claiming there is a mechanism with the United Nations to allow ships to enter, and the mechanism is continuing to be applied. But an investigation by CNN in March found that Saudi warships had held up more than a dozen boats that had been cleared by UN inspectors to dock in the vital port city of Hodeidah. A letter sent by Democratic Representatives Debbie Dingell of Michigan, Roy Khanna of California, and Mark Pocan of Wisconsin urged the Biden administration to do more to pressure the Saudis to